Session number 12019.
Mrs. Kuyavinsky, Reel 2.
So we used to stop night when we were going for petrol and oils to our meal, you know. And they gave me food, they washed me, and there was old Russian soldier on big lorry with the big metal barrels. He was going for supply to back to Russia to supply oils and everything for the army, you see. And they paid for him money, and they asked him if he will take me to my home, because he had to go right exact by our mill in the village where my parents lived. So of course he took me, and first time I saw corned beef in tin, American corned beef, because he stopped on the way and he took tin out and he showed me. He said, Americans feed us now, and he opened the corned beef. The first time I taste American corned beef. I never seen before a tin of corned beef, you see. And he took me home, and then I don't know where from, because there was nobody in the village, nobody in our house. How my dad, he must have seen somewhere from field. My dad came, and my dad gave him some spirit and some food. And every time then that fellow, when he came through a border, because 11 kilometers, that's about 8 miles, isn't it? From our house, there was border, river, Bug, you see? So they used to have come this way every time, you know, he was going. And then he stopped coming, and we befriended him, really, because he was old man. Probably he was too old then, or maybe he lost his life, I don't know. Anyway, he sent another soldiers, you know, and they used to bring to my parents oil and petrol and paraffin. And they, when they came from Russia, when they were going back to Russia, they used to take semolina from our flour mill. There was flour and probably, you know, some meat, and most of all, spirits and tobacco. So they exchanged, you know, they was exchanging. And then...
Could I just go back to those Russian tanks that you saw when you were leaving Warsaw?
Yes, yes.
You first saw them and then they disappeared.
Disappeared.
What was the explanation for this?
I read about a few years ago, in book sent from Poland, you know, historical book, it said that they sent to see what's going on. They like army sends, you know, I don't know how you call it.
Reconnaissance.
Yes, and that's true, because I read in book afterwards that they did send, but I didn't know, I couldn't understand. I never knew. I even thought maybe Germans, you know, especially fooled people or something. Oh, when I was there stopping night, when these tanks were, they were coming from heaven, I don't know where from, papers, advert papers about new Polish government. You see, never heard these names. They weren't from our underground army names, and they were all this communist government, what Russian made in Poland, in Lublin, you know, which was till last year, yeah.
How did people react to that?
People didn't know what it was. I didn't know. There was name Bierut, Wasilewska, Osupka Morawski, Zimirski. We never heard these names. Never. No, nobody ever knew what it was. Nobody knew who was dropping them, you see, either. We didn't know. It was Russians, yeah. So they must have done at night time when we were asleep. Yeah.
When you left Warsaw on the day that the uprising started,
yes.
Did you do that deliberately because you knew the uprising had started?
No, I didn't have any clue. I didn't. They asked me in Warsaw, could I stay because I will be very useful.
Who asked you?
My ex-fiancé, because he gave me money, my husband's money, he gave me these codes and everything. And I didn't...
He was working for the...
Yes, he was. Yes, he was in one of main knobs in Polish underground. I didn't know. He never mentioned, never. And I never knew that uprising, you know, that it was really uprising, until I went back home to partisans and heard on my husband's wireless.
So he wanted you to stay?
Yeah.
Why
but
didn't
I didn't
you stay?
No, because I had my husband. I was going to my husband, you see. I didn't want to stay longer than I had necessary, you see. I didn't want to stop in there. I was just, you know, first months of pregnancy and everything, and I had my orders to deliver what I had to deliver and come back to unit. Yeah, I was a soldier. I couldn't do what I wanted, you see.
Did you see anything of the uprising in war?
No, because I left it. You know, I slept night in that outskirts, and I didn't know there was uprising, you see. I didn't. Because there was, people didn't come out of houses, you know, they were all in cellars. I slept in cellars in this outskirts of town. Because there were, I tell you, it was like masses of these last soldiers and Ukrainian soldiers and even some Hungarian between them. No. I only found out that Warsaw is uprising when I went back to partisans. You know, when I walked after 3 days, I joined back a unit. No.
Who were the people who were in charge of the Home Army units in the Konitsa area?
In Konitsa area, it was we were our partisans. There was another. It was called Batalyony Chłopskie village. It was. They belonged to our underground army, but I didn't know. It was so secretive that I don't know.
You didn't know the names of the...
I didn't even know that my friends were in underground, no.
But you must have had one contact who was giving you orders.
No, I was in partisans. I didn't have contact.
But in the partisans?
In partisans.
Who gave you your orders?
One was my husband, another was commandant of partisans, excuse me. False name of leader of partisans, commandant, it was Zenon, and mine was Brilliant, Miss Diamond. And we all had false names. We didn't know one another by real names, you know, because it was very dangerous. If they caught me, I couldn't give away anybody because I didn't know their names, you see. So, also the same, if they caught anybody else, nobody will know my name, real name. They call me by Brilliant, you know, that's how it...
So, Zenon and your husband were the only two contacts
in
partisans?
Yes, in partisans, yes. And I never spoke about what I was doing, where I was going, to anybody, even in partisans. Only my husband, because he was commanding officer over me, and Zenon.
So, do I understand that you were never arrested?
No, I was not. They wanted to catch me, but not Germans, Russians. But I escaped. After they had my husband, I escaped. And I left two little prematurely born twins. And my mother escaped. And... they took my brother-in-law, my younger sister, husband.
This was later when the Russians came in.
Yes.
What do you remember about the Russians taking over your part of Poland?
You see, when they came to Poland, where our partisans were, I was on my way from Warsaw, you see, because I was really in Warsaw yet, because they came 20th of July to our place. And I came just day or two after 1st of August.
So they'd already
so
taken over.
So they were already there. When I joined, after that journey, which I walked from Warsaw, when I came to partisans, again to unit, they were already Germans. And all our partisans, they were in a very, very big village, open. Radio was playing a full blast. And flags, Polish flags and everything. And they were all different partisans joined together, you see. So I missed battle Because our partisans, they had battle, our unit. I missed that.
Battle with whom?
Germans, when Russians were coming, when front was on. And I wasn't there, I was in Warsaw, you see.
When you got back to Kharnitsa and the Russians had taken over, did you continue working for the Arkhar?
Yes, later on, yes.
What did you do then?
It was called, after they arrested my husband, and I escaped from home. When I came back, my children were already buried. I didn't see children. They died. One died of pneumonia because they were very, very prematurely born. Another one died of hunger, from hunger. So when I came and I saw what's what, and I had report that my husband was killed. He was arrested, he wasn't killed, but I didn't know. I had report that he was killed. And they were, and NKVD was after me, after my mother. I changed name back to my maiden name. And I went to Lublin back. And that new government, communist government, was just opening ministry and all that. And because I was secretary, I could type, I could shorthand type. I got a job, secretary job.
This was a job in a ministry?
Yes.
Which ministry was that?
Food and... Ministry of Food, yeah. And I had three bosses. I worked in forestry and fishery department in this ministry. And I had three bosses, three lawyers, and it happened that they were all three Jewish people, all three. It was Mr. Lindner, Mr. Pivovarsky, and Mr. Kersky, three lawyers, and I was secretary for them. Meanwhile, this new government, border people, they issue new money, new Polish money, communist money. And people had to stand in queues to exchange Polish German money, what we had during occupation. And I came downstairs to see if there was paper in the newspaper. And then I saw in the long queue, because downstairs in this building there was bank and people were queuing miles long for changing. And I spotted my school friend, whom I haven't seen for pretty few years. And she was so big, I thought she's last days on last legs for having baby. So of course we liked one another, so I run to her and we kiss and cuddle, and I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "She's married and expecting baby." She asked me, she was a very good friend. You see, one doesn't expect anything like that shocking. She asked me what I was doing. And I leaked out. I said, "I was married, but my husband is killed." She said, "Ask me questions." So I said, "My husband was in underground, and I was." She said, "I'm sorry, but I'm communist," she said. "And I lost my brother. I knew her brother in Majdanek, in Lublin, in concentration camp." And she said, "But how did you lose your husband?" But she said, "Put that on side, because we like one another. We're friends from yesterday days." And I said, "He was killed, but I don't know where. I don't know how. I only knew that Russians killed him. That's what report I had." And she said to me, "My husband is secretary of highest military court, and he has all documents and all government, and everything was in that Lublin." She said, I tell you, I go and ask my husband if he can find where your husband is buried and where he was killed, how he was killed." And I said, "So leave your money with me," because I knew cashier, Mr. Tomaszewski, his name, was, and I said, "I go behind and I change money. But when you come, I give you money. You don't have to stand in this queue." It wasn't maybe more than half an hour. She came back and she asked me, you know, so, fellow, you know, who looked after the building, to call me from the office. And she took me by hand and she said, Sit down for a minute. I have biggest shock for you yet. So I sat, and she said, your husband wasn't killed. He's alive, and he's in here in prison in Lublin, in Zamek, in Kassel. And he is sentenced to death sentence. And you know, when she said that, it wasn't hysteric, but I had shock that I started scream. And everybody looked at me, and I started run to my office and screamed there and screamed there until Mr. Lindner, one lawyer, smacked me on the face. And he said, stop it now, stop it. He thought I was hysterical. He said, what's the matter with you? And I said, my husband is sentenced to death. So they couldn't understand. They said, you said you're not married. I said, I thought I was widowed, so I had gone back to my maiden name. He said, no, my husband is in here. I didn't care then. You see, I said, he's sentenced to death. So they talked to me, they said, they took me home to my auntie, and they said, we do what we can do for you. He said, Mr. Lindner, he said, I have friend in KGB in here whom I did favor, and he said that I can always ask favor of him. And took me home, and next day Mrs. Lindner came, wife of this lawyer, and she said, my husband wants to see you in the office. And so we walked to the office, and he said, we changed your husband's death sentence to 10 years, he said. I went there, and I asked that friend, Russian friend, and he said, You will be all right. He said, we will see now. Mr. Kersky, that's another lawyer, he was officially taking cases, political cases. So he said, if you take now Mr. Kersky, he will take your husband's case officially, and he will see what he can do. And of course, meanwhile, when I found out that my husband had the death sentence, I 10 years, I couldn't imagine him being 10 years in prison. I had contacts with another people, and my husband sent two soldiers to me from prison, guards. And they said their commandant, another partisan, is in prison as well. And they went to work voluntarily like a guard so they can look after him and free him whenever will be occasion. And they were coming to my house, and they said, one day they came, and they said, we're going making break from prison.
So we need infiltrated.
Yes, yes. And he said, because we need money and we need gun. And so I gave them my husband's gun, and I gave them my husband's, I sold these golden coins, you know, friends, I sold, gave them money. And it was in February. And he said, we will free...
This is February 46.
45, yeah. And yes, because my husband was freed last day in 1945. And because he was arrested on 22nd of November, 44. And that was in February 45. And it was about middle of February. And they said, we had to break tonight because they're going to send us to different prison. And he said, if we don't let them out now, we will have no chance. So, of course, they freed nearly everybody, but they didn't free that cell where my husband was. And they did break. They shot some officer guard. They couldn't find the key to my husband's cell. So my husband was left. And they took from my husband my photograph. They took, I sent him matches, cigarettes. And he had to eat all that, you know, because when they took our other prisoners, he was left. He was frightened that when they come and find things, you know, they will know that he's mixed with it. And so he had it, my photograph, paper, chew and eat it, and cigarettes and everything. And they did break. So I didn't go to prison for 3 weeks, because I thought he was free. And then I didn't have any news, anything. And after some time, these two soldiers came to us at night time, to me, and they said, "We freed everybody but your husband." And of course, a woman came and she said, "I took a parcel to my husband, and somebody asked, he says he's your husband, will you take parcel for him?" So I went parcel, you know, to the prison. And they took this parcel for him. So I was sure, I knew he was there. But these two soldiers, they came, and there was a very big funeral of some big communist. He was Jewish, it happened, you know, it just happened, you know, because Jewish people helped me, but it happened that big knob was, he was shot. And do you know, I don't know who shot him, but maybe they did, I don't know. They turned his coffin out behind the fence on cemetery, 3 nights, night after night. These two soldiers which let prisoners out of prison, because they used to come and stop day in our house, in my auntie's house, slept. And at night time, we didn't know where they went, and they went to cemetery to turn his coffin out.
What do you mean to turn it out?
To dig it out and chuck it out of grave. They chuck it out behind the fence of cemetery. The coffin, that fellow's coffin, you see.
Why did they do this?
Because he hated him, because he'd done such a lot of killing and everything in Lublin. Yeah.
What was his name?
I don't know. I can't remember, you see. It was like a German name, but I can't remember now, you see. Yeah, it must be some. In Poland, there is in documents, some in papers. And then after that, I never saw them again. Never seen them again. So I don't know what happened to them. They caught them, or if they moved out of Poland because they were on their hills, or never seen them again. But that's how it happened. That was fire. In February. And then, of course, I went, you know, with that lawyer, Kersky, that Mr. Kersky. And 10th of March, I had first visit with my husband to prison in Lublin. And, but it was 2 hours, you know, but we spoke. At least I saw him, that he's alive. And then, after they moved my husband, you know, so probably he told you, you know, how they moved him and all that. But once husband, that secretary of this highest court, you know, that husband of my friend, he met me once. He was waiting for me at night time, and he asked me if I can meet him on such a Lipova Street, that's near cemetery, at 8 o'clock at night, because he didn't want anybody to see us. It was dark street. I wasn't very, you know, at ease myself there, going to cemetery, you know, next to cemetery at that time night. But he turned in, and he said, "I would like to help you if you give me money." He said, "I don't want any money, but I have to give money to open your husband's case again." So.
To bribe?
Yeah. So, of course, I sold some more of these coins, gold coins, and gave him money. And before Christmas, in 1945, I had a letter from court, from army court, would I come and then. And they informed me that they opened case of my husband's, see if it was legal, if it was right. And it was Kerner. Mr. Rolla, his name was, and he was very, very sympathetic, you know, so I don't know if he had this money or somebody else. Anyway, case was open, and he told me, shook my hand, and he said, I had another card to come and again, so I went again, and he said, we've seen to your husband's case, take warm clothing for him, and go to prison, because he will be free for Christmas. So of course I didn't wait. I took clothing and everything and went there to Vronki. And I was waiting and waiting. You know, we had we knew people there, so I stopped with the people. I ran out of money, and Christmas gone, and I spent Christmas with them, and I was penniless then. And there was, he was guard, that Mr. Gelniak, he was guard in prison, but he was in ladies section. But he knew what was going on in prison. And he came one day, and he said, he came back home, and he said, your husband, papers come, arrived, that they have to free your husband from prison today. And that was 30th of December. So he said, take his thing and go in the morning to gate, to prison gate. So of course I went 30th, and I waited and waited and waited. And nothing happened. So I came back to their house. And when he came at night, he said, commandant of prison, governor, got drunk, so drunk, that he turned all prisons, they were 20-something, one woman and all men, he turned them from last gate, he told them, take back to cells. He was so hateful. And of course, that's why my husband didn't come. And next day he said, but he asked to let them free because that's order from ministry. So next day, that was 31st of December, and last day in the year, and there I was waiting, and there, then they come all together, open gate, and so many of them came together. And these people, Mr. and Mrs. Gelniak, they lent me money, they bought ticket for my husband, you know, for train, and even gave us extra money, you know, so we can travel, you know, safe. And with friends, they gave us even a wagon, where all people who works at railway traveled, you know, because he was very, very squashed in trains, in wagons, people were traveling, you know. So my husband, he wasn't very strong, so he could sit. So we traveled in a nice and warm wagon together with, you know, and afterwards I sent them back money and sent them nice big goose, you know, for roast and a nice present and...
Yeah. How did you manage to escape from Poland in the end?
We had my brother-in-law, whom they took to Siberia, you know, for so many months, 40 months. He had a relation. She died last year. He had a relation, and she worked in Red Cross, in Polish Red Cross in Warsaw. And before the war, and during the war, her mother had a big land estate, you know, about 3 kilometers from our house, from my mom's house. And we used to be very friendly, you see. You know, because we were young girls, three young sisters coming from school for holidays and all that from Lublin. And there were two boys and a girl, Marysia. So we were very, very friendly, you know, we even, you know, one of her brothers, he was like my boyfriend, you know, but he was younger, so I didn't want him for a boyfriend much, you know. And Marysia was working after they took over their estate, Russian, they took all estates over, and they shot her mother, you know, they shot her dead, her mother.
What for?
Because she was owner of
a landowner.
Landowner, yes. So she worked in Red Cross in Warsaw, you see, by friends and all that. And they were looking for her as well, because they shot her and they took her for dead as well. But she survived, you see, Marysia Jackowska, the name. We went to visit her because they were chasing us everywhere through all Poland. So we went wherever we had friends or relations from place to place in Poland after Russians were, after my husband, after he left prison, you see, because they were after him.
The UB were?
UB, yes.
Hunting for him.
So we went there and Marysia said, we told her what happened to us. And she said, I have friends in here. They came from England and from Germany, from 1st Polish Division, they take important people back to army units. And she said, She contacted with one of them, Leszek his name was, and she said to my husband, we take you straight away, but we cannot take your wife. And I was pregnant again, because I was just after we met, I become pregnant. So my husband didn't want to leave me, and he said no. So they said, when we come back, we're going now back over border, you know, through Germany. When we come back, we ask if we're allowed to take your wife. So when they came second time, Marisha let us know that they will take me as well. And they took us. And, you know, as my husband told you, we went to Krakow we waited there. And from there, they picked us up in UNRWA, the UNR. Yes. And that's how we just survived this way, you see. And they left me in Germany in Maczków, that was little town, which they made named Polish name, and General Maciek, you know, after him, they named that name. And they put all Polish displaced persons there, and they gave me a room there in the one of the houses. They gave me my Russian card. And
this is 46?
Yes, that's 46. And my husband went back to London too, and I was left there, you see. And that's how it happened. You see, I had to wait for a visa. I couldn't enter England. So he came for holiday soon after he was briefed in London. And he used to send me after, when he went back, some cigarettes, some chocolate, some cocoa, so I could trade with German people. I used to go on farms, so I could get milk, and I could get bread, you see, because I was hungry. And nearly last days before my son was born, eldest son in here, I left Germany and went to join my husband in England.
So it must have been easier for him to become a British citizen because he had worked for SOE?
Yes, I imagine so, yes.